Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, narrowing down, especially verses 28 and 29. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. And narrowing it down even more, "Come." This is the text. So, boiling it down as simple as we possibly can, okay? It's the interplay between God's word and faith. And by the way, faith means believing the words and promises of God. So there you are. Now you know all that God will ask you to learn and grow in for the rest of your whole life. Amen. You're waiting for more. Yeah. Okay, we can do that. So, now we spin off into all kinds of things. And the first one, I need a volunteer. This is completely harmless, no risk whatsoever. Okay, Signe. I brought along a Greek-English interlinear Bible. Okay? Yeah. And I turned to that passage where it says, "And Jesus said, come." And zeroing in, what's that word? Come. Just simply that. Nothing fancier. How many letters? Four letters. Look above it. That's the Greek word. How many letters? Four. Simple, right? Thank you. You're done. So that was easy. Yeah, just four letters. Come. That's important. Jesus doesn't elaborate and go into a long. "Hey, Peter, if you really think you're able to do this," he doesn't qualify it. "Now, Peter, make sure your faith is focused." Does he? He doesn't say, "Well, Peter, first let me do this with the water." Just one word. Only one word. Come. That's enough. And the thing about faith is, that's enough. It is as simple as it possibly can be. It isn't even hard. Some things are simple, but they're hard. This one isn't even hard. So there you have the interplay. Jesus says, come. And Peter, who has this flash of getting it, just for that moment, the flash of getting it, realizes, if he tells me to come to him on the water, I can come to him on the water. I can walk on the water. He's walking in the water. I can do that if he says, come. Command me. Come. And out he goes, walking on the water. Pause for a moment there, because in comes my curiosity. As Peter's walking on the water, do the waves sort of part and he walks along, kind of it's flat and everything? Or does he go up and down with the waves as he's walking on the water? Is the water spongy like mom and dad's bed? Everybody here knows what that means, right? Yeah, is it spongy like mom and dad's bed, or is it firm like the floor? We don't know. But I'm really curious. Okay. So anyway, Peter's out there walking on the water. You know, the only other person besides Jesus ever to do that. And that's pretty cool. And he does so, keep it simple, through that interplay between God's word and simply believing it. Right? And the definition of faith is believing the words and promises of God. The definition of faith is not achieving a certain degree of spiritual strength so that we are able to believe the word of God. That's not the definition of faith. Faith is believing the words and promises of God. The tricky aspect here, which is one of the places where we get it wrong, because we are inclined to put something else into it. Well, in order to have that kind of faith, I have to work at it, don't I? No. In order to have that kind of great faith, I have to put in some effort, don't I? No. In order to have that kind of faith, I have to have the discipline to stay focused on the Word of God. And no. Keep it simple. Faith is simply to believe the words and promises of God. And in that definition, what does faith do? Well, trick question, because in that definition, there's no doing. It's simply believing the Word of God. Okay. So say I come in after working in the yard and this and that, and I'm hungry, and my wife says, supper tonight is spaghetti. Do I then go to it working hard to believe that supper is spaghetti? No. Believing is believing, isn't it? Yeah. But we're human beings. We overcomplicate. We make too much of our efforts at certain things. Paul comes along to give the corrective. And in Ephesians chapter 2, he does not say, you are saved by your faith. He doesn't say that. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay, so God did it, and he made the faith, and he, and faith is to believe what God did. Faith says, I didn't do it, Jesus did it. He did everything that's necessary. He went to the cross, he died, he rose, he forgave sins, he opened up heaven. He gave me all of this, and I didn't do any of it. So you're saved by grace through faith. And then Paul points at faith and says, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. So even the believing the Word of God, it's not me. It's a gift from God. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. All of that's his doing. And then he finishes it off with, to do good works which God has prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So even if you say, well, okay, faith means simply believe, but after I'm done believing and I'm believing Jesus, then I'm doing a good work. And Paul says, no, that's not even you. God prepared that in advance, laid it out for you to simply walk along in it. And that's how Peter steps out of the boat and walks along, because he's heard that word from Jesus. Simple word. How many letters in it? Four. Four letters that were completely enough to change everything in the world so that Peter is able to walk on water. Okay. So if one word of four letters is enough, why do we have a whole Bible? Well, you remember what the disciples were doing before? Before Jesus says, it's me? Before Jesus says, it's me? And then Peter calls out and says, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. You remember what they were doing? They were seeing Jesus out there on the water, and they were crying out, and they were saying, it's a ghost! We get it wrong, don't we? And Jesus had to say to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Oh, that's not been too many Sundays past when I asked you the question, do you know how many fear nots there are in the Bible? So do you remember? How many fear nots are there in the Bible? 365. Why? One for each day. So that for today's fears, fear not. For tomorrow's worries, fear not. For the next day when I get there, there's a fear not waiting for me. Because Jesus has it handled. And that's pretty cool. So Peter gets to go walking on the water. Until he complicates things. How do I know Peter complicated things? How do I know Peter complicated things? Yeah, I see inside myself. I complicate them, and then Jesus has got to come back with another fear not. Okay, so Peter complicates things and looks around and sees the wind and all of this. But guess who's still holding him in his protection? Jesus. How do we know this? Because it says, and beginning to sink, how do you do beginning to sink? Isn't it like you'd expect that when Peter loses his focus, it's like cutting the cord? Which would instead of being, Lord, save me, it would sound like this. Lord, so there you go. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus goes and reaches out and takes him by the hand. And then they walk on the water back to the boat. So the lesson there is, for my faith, for my understanding, for my working at living the Christian life, I'm going to have ups and downs and ups and downs. And I asked this question at a nursing home way back when. If you have absolutely the worst day in your entire life, and you're miserable, and you're in a foul and rotten mood, is Jesus still the Savior? Yeah. Okay. So, does that mean that I can have the worst day of my whole life and he's still there as the Savior? Yeah. And what happened then was some of the ladies who had been having lousy, rotten days for health reasons, they said, okay, well then, and started to smile. Because it didn't depend on them. Jesus was still the Savior. He is still the Savior. He is going to sustain. He is still the one who died and rose to forgive sins and give eternal life, who still speaks his word to us, who still tells us that we are his, who still holds us in his hands, and no matter what today brings, he's still the Savior. Well, okay then. I have permission to be in a bad mood. That's what one of them asked. So I have permission to be in a bad mood? And I said, yeah, he's still the Savior. And she said, well then, that makes me feel better. See how it is? You go working at it, you never get there. But when the Word of God comes to you, it's given as a gift. And all of a sudden you can relax and enjoy your way into being a child of God and held in the hands of God. Has he done that with his word? Well, his word is life-giving, sin-forgiving, faith-creating, faith-renewing, faith-strengthening, and heaven-opening. That's what his word is. Because the word of God, you ask, what exactly is that? And from the beginning, it's that word that creates the world. But then it is the word from Jesus that to the paralyzed guy goes like this: rise, take up your bed, and walk. And he does. And to the deaf man, it goes like this: Ephatha, now he can hear. And to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Don't care that Lazarus is 4 days dead. Lazarus is coming forth alive, renewed, his body healed up. Okay. And to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And now his entire eternity is changed. And for us on the cross, Father, forgive them. And our sins are forgiven. That's the word of God. It centers around everything that Jesus has done. And in the center of everything that Jesus has done is that one thing that always is in the center: the cross. And so God comes to us with his word. His word that is there in our Bibles, where we can find 365 what? Fear nots. In the water, where he puts his word into the water and then he pours it over us. In the Lord's Supper, where he takes his body and his blood together with bread and wine, speaks his word, and feeds us. So he designs that the word of God comes in through our eyes, we read his word, through our ears as we speak his word to each other. His word gets poured all over us and then put in our mouths so that we can taste and smell, and his word can be all through us, and more as life goes on, that his word can become our entire reality. Until that day when the reality of what his word is opens up eternity, and we see Jesus face to face, and then we're transformed and made into his likeness, and we go on from there for an endless celebration of being with Jesus. But I remind you, it's as simple as it can be. In Jesus' name, amen.